Hey, it's Jeff with Road Trip Mojo. Thanks for joining us. We're going to have a chat right now with Sam Calhoun from Floyd Fest. He's been promoting the show, putting the show on for years, new location this year. They've been spending the past year or so building it out. They've got a lot of great things to share. So, Sam, thanks for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me. Really appreciate you being a partner with us for all these years. And, yeah, can't wait to explain more about what's going on with Festival Park and Floyd Fest 24 Horizon.
Absolutely. So you've gone through a lot. It was supposed to be new this past year. It didn't come to pass. It's all new this year. Tell me a little bit about I know it's biting off a whole chunk, but tell me a little bit about what people are going to see that's different this year. It's, again, Festival Park. How you've been working to pull that together? Tell me what's going on with that.
Gotcha. Well, lots of exciting things. I will want to say just right off the bat that we're so thankful to our patrons that 70% rolled over their tickets to support us and to look ahead with positivity towards Festival Park. And boy, we are delivering on what we promised. The progress at Festival Park is extraordinary. Now, we have done a lot of work in the off season, but truly this main construction was just the past 8 to 9 weeks. And I'm not lying when I say that me and my compatriots get emotional daily almost when we go and we check out what our team of Floyd-based contractors have accomplished in the venue. I should note we have four teams of all Floyd-based contractors led by OmniBuild, and they have just done an extraordinary job on this Festival Park. We have 9 bridges almost completed on the property. We have just tons and tons of roads in there. In fact, in the bottom of the venue, which is where the majority of the stages are, which is where a lot of people camp, is basically almost done. I joke and say that we could probably throw a festival there tomorrow. Now, of course, we'd have to do a couple more things down there, but it's looking amazing.
Sure.
Regulators are very happy with how we've just gone above and beyond to protect every single wetland on the property. In addition to the bridges, we are about halfway done constructing the higher ground viewing deck and stage. And I tell you, when we see this thing and you see this thing, it's going to be hard to peel people off it. It is just an incredible structure that towers above the property. People may remember the viewing deck from our previous location. This new one dwarfs that. I mean, it's just so much bigger than this. We can actually fit above 600 people on this viewing deck at one time, overlooking the entire site. In the center of it is a wonderful bar. This all has a roof on it, by the way, too. This bar, of course, has all of our ABC partners. And then on the back end of it, we have a stage. And the stage kind of shoots up this gentle grade of a hill. It's like a smaller hill holler from the old site. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the higher ground campers, those lucky enough to get those tickets, those are going to be all camped around the top of that. So it's close proximate to everything. It's just an incredible, incredible space. And I guess the last thing I'll kind of highlight there is this creekside camping that we have created has just kind of just expanded. We found all this new land where people can find these really cool campsites with the cool breeze coming off the creek, really proximate to the main stage and to all the other stages and vendors and food court, et cetera. It is, no lie, one of the most beautiful spaces I've ever seen at an outdoor camping festival. And the pictures don't do it justice, although they do it a lot of justice, and I really can't wait to share and to have people see it in person kind of.
It's funny. The more you talk, the more questions, open up in my mind. Talking about the stages, some festivals will be different every year. The stages will move. Are these permanently constructed stages that will, in all likelihood, not shift and not be removed? Sometimes, at Spirit of Suwannee, we've talked about in the past, they have two main stages that are there all the time, or three, actually. But then they have others that they may construct for an event. How many of these are going to be permanent structures that we'll see, or do we know that yet? How's that going to roll?
Great question. Okay, so that part of our brand, of course, is to have these timber frame stages that really complement the mountain landscape. We are planning to have all these stages in permanent locations, yes. Now, let's go a little deeper into that. The first year, we're going to have the higher ground viewing deck and stage fully completed. And so that'll be the structure as you'll see it in moving on in the future. It's a beautiful, beautiful structure, and it's kind of like the pinnacle of the site. In addition to that, we have this barn on site that is from the original homestead. I believe the original homestead was called Seven Springs Farm, which is what we call Festival Park now. And it's the last structure remaining from the original homestead. We are taking great care with Bill St. Pierre Woodworking to renovate this barn. And so on one side of it is going to be the new workshop porch stage, which will be permanent, and it will be built by Floyd Fest 24 Horizon. And the back side of it, interior of it, is going to be the merchandise kind of shop. So it's going to be incredible location, dead center. We can just let this information out. So we have this wonderfully expansive pad, if you will, for the main stage. And that's the permanent location of where the main stage is going to be. The pad is completely constructed, wetlands protected, everything. It's right on Meadow Run Creek. And so for the first year, this year, Floyd Fest 24 Horizon, we're going to have a large stage line in there. So we're going to have a massive main stage, but it'll be a temporary stage. And then when we conclude Floyd Fest 24 Horizon, the next big project is us building this massive main stage. To give some perspective, and I may be kind of speaking a bit out of turn here, it's about three times larger than the main stage at our old site. It is massive.
Huge.
And it's huge. And I mean, there's so many cool aspects to it. We finally get to create the stage that we always wanted. Not that we didn't love the one previously, but like tour bus parking, you know, more room for production kind of situation. So that will go in. The VIP stage is always kind of temporary because we put it into that catering tent and VIP pub.
Mm-hmm.
The Oasis stage is basically the new throwdown tent. So it's that, I call it the Pringle tent. It's kind of like a saddle tent, if you will. That will, of course, be deconstructed every year, but that stage will be permanent. And then we're introducing this brand-new stage called the Canopy Grove stage. It'll be kind of closer to the camping areas, and it does have a lot of – it kind of harkens back to the beer garden. And so that will be there kind of below the depot. So really when you look at – and this Children's Universe stage is going to be there as well – the only stage that will not be permanently built by this first year will be the main stage. The rest will kind of be taking shape in the permanent locations as they always have been.
So talk to me a little bit, and I know you've released this in the past. The details are escaping me now, but talking about size of this venue versus the previous venue, and then as we segue a little bit into the camping, and we'll talk a little bit about the acts that you've signed already, but talking about size and how this accommodates people on site. I think I had read something about carpooling and you know, sort of getting better ingress, egress, and accommodating the people and vehicles. Talk to me about that stuff, those details.
Absolutely. Love that you asked that. So the point of us buying the site, one of the major points was to eradicate off-site shuttles and off-site lots, right? So everyone is on the same site. That's the biggest thing to know there. So that being said, if you kind of unpack that, we used to have infinite, quote-unquote, parking spaces because we had off-site overflow lots. Well, since every car and vehicle has to be on the same site, we kind of have finite amount of parking, and so our attendance level is dictated by the amount of cars we can have in there. So basically, the site itself, which is right at 200 acres, can accommodate many more people than we have room for in cars. So when we say carpooling, it's, of course, to save a couple bucks, you know, to carpool with your friends. It's, of course, nice to be good to the environment. But it's also the fact that we can fit more people on this site. It's not going to be overcrowded, right? That's an amazing thing. We never want people to have to wait in a food line to get food, to have to wait in a vending line, to have to wait in a porta-potty line. We want to have that room to breathe. So whereas we were kind of all in at 15,000 total attendance over 5 days of the previous site we ended, we're now in like the 10,000-plus all in over those days. So we have reduced the capacity. Now, it's going to be a different, awesome family communal feel because at nighttime, we won't have people leaving to go to Delta Lot, leaving to go to Alpha Lot. Right. They're going to be staying on that same site. And so it's a different beast, and we think it's going to be very fun to have the entire family together there.
Absolutely, absolutely. So let's talk a bit about having family. Talk a little bit about the camping experience. You mentioned a little bit with some of the creeks that run through and the breezes you'll feel, et cetera, between tenting and RVing. Let's split those up. Talk to what people are going to experience there.
Fantastic. Okay, so let's just kind of break down the tent camping, if you will, into three little buckets here. So I've talked about Creekside. Creekside is amazingly beautiful, and we did not oversell it, by the way, so I think there's going to be room to sprawl, even though we, of course, all of our tent tags carry a 15 by 15 footprint, but it'll be some breathing room. I kind of compare that to Premium Woodsy at the old site, that it is kind of the top dollar ticket. It's where people, I think, are going to want to be the most. It has plenty of shade, the cool breezes from the creeks, et cetera. Then you go to Higher Ground, which I mentioned as well. Higher Ground is on the pinnacle of the property. The cool thing is it's not like it's a hike, really, because there are, first of all, wonderful trails going in, but it's right in the dead center of the venue. And we have amenities laid out up there as well. Like, for instance, showers are not very far from there, but we're also probably putting the Dr. Bronner's trailer up there, you know? So in case you want to cool off real quick, you know, get up there. We're going to have coffee up there. We're going to have medical up there. We're going to have food up there. We're going to have vendors. So, and, of course, the Higher Ground view and deck and stage. So you never have to go far for anything there. And then we come to canopy camping. Canopy camping can easily be kind of understood that it's kind of the GA tent tag from the former site. And it is the lion's share of the camping we have on site. It is this beautiful forest that we have beautified with the help of Floyd County Arborists. And it has this beautiful thing called Middle Road is what we're calling it, that kind of skirts in the middle of it. And camping on either side, which is shaded, we have plenty of room to sprawl in that area as well. You are closer to where you're parking than any of the other sites. So the majority of people will be camping there. Then we, of course, everyone's on the same site now. So we still have our V-Dub Van Life Park and Camp area. That's only 35 spaces. That sadly is sold out. But that is going to be just beautiful. It's somewhat terraced and somewhat flat ground in the tree line with shade, proximate to the depot and everything else. Then we have RV unpowered and RV powered. We have been very thoughtful about where we place those because we want those to have the same walking distance as anyone else. We also want to make it easy for you to pull in and pull out, right? You know, that's a big thing. challenge people with how to drive. And then, of course, we have the glamp camping, which has become very, very popular. There is this other knoll that kind of faces Higher Ground and faces the venue. And on top of this knoll, we're going to have the Dancing Dave's, the Solid Ground Shelter to a Degree, those tents, the bell tents. And then those people have their own showers, their own bathroom trailer, their own hosts, kind of like a headquarters there, which is beautiful.
Yeah.
And then finally, I'll go to VIP camping. Now, I love our VIPs, but boy, some of them were used to camping on a hill, right?
And
I am so excited to show them what we have now prepared for them. It is the lion's share of it. It's really just completely flat ground. And you still have that wonderful proximate nature to walk anywhere on site. You have your VIP pub, VIP catering tent right there with you. And then if you did miss kind of the woodsy camping that we had in places like that, we have found other locations in VIP world, is what we're calling it, where you can go and find your space in the woods. And there's plenty of hammock trees for hammocks. There's little worlds that you can set up with your friends to have, like, communal camping, which is so very cool. And then for the first time ever in our history, we have RV VIP.
There you go. I was just going to ask about that.
Yeah. We're 20 by 50, and so this means we finally can accommodate Class A RVs.
Huge. Absolutely huge. Absolutely.
It just massive. We know people want it. And these are like, we have pull-through sites. I can't explain how happy we are with what the contractors have done with this area. That it will be a beautiful drive-in. We've thought about navigating an RV or, heck, a tour bus or a semi through every roadway we have. Right. And so these bridges are rated for heavy, heavy vehicles. There's no huge up and down. Right. So, like, you know, it's a flat entryway to get into this place. So all in all, the camping has improved dramatically at the new space and just really more flat ground than ever. There's still going to be mountain camping, but it is dwarfed by the amount of flat camping we have.
Talk to me about now VIP RV or RV VIP would require both a VIP pass for entry. It's not your VIP camping, but you can buy a GA pass. It's a VIP whole experience, correct?
Correct. Yes. You need those admission credentials, and it's an add-on ticket for that. Correct.
Gotcha. Yeah, and maybe I'll share a link to pricing for all of these so that people can get a feel for it, because it's really, as you're saying, and most of these are available. Hopefully ticket sales have been robust. Okay. 70% rollover. Where do we stand?
Yeah, so we have, I will say, some of these options I've spoken about now are sold out. That being said, people's plans change, and we recommend, we have our own FloydFest page on cashortrade.com.
Okay.
And you can go on there, and people can do in search of ticket posts, or they can do a purchase post, right? They can put some tickets up for sale.
Exactly.
So a lot of these will come back up. We still have Canopy Camping available. Sadly, Brian Creekside sold out, Higher Ground sold out. We have a few RV powered left. RV unpowered is sold out, V-dub sold out, and VIP powered is sold out. That being said, of course, I think some of these things will come back up.
When you say RV powered, are you you're providing power, 30 amp or 50 amp or both?
So it's definitely 30 amp. We are working with, we have the most amazing electricians, and we're working with Appalachian Power to bring the proper amount of power to these areas. So huge no promises for me right now, but it looks like a majority of RV power would have the chance to have 50 amp, which is a game changer. And it's definitely the end game. Like, we're going to get to that. And, you know, that's part of the plan. Always has been.
The
other tickets real quick.
Go ahead. Yep.
Yeah, sorry. That, 5-day tickets are sadly sold out. Now there's some on Cash or Trade. We have, right now, we have about 204 days left and about 153 days left. And once those are gone, they're gone. Right? So that's a call to action for people. Now, we do have this new ticket type, which we're really in love with, which is a single-day pair plus parking bundle. So basically with this, you get 2 single-day tickets for the day of your choice plus a single-day parking pass for the day of your choice. Those are on sale now. Those are selling quite robustly, so we would encourage people to kind of pick that out. We will be announcing more of what artists are playing on what days in the coming month or two, and which will aid people in purchasing those specific tickets. So that's kind of something that you don't have to jump on right away, but I would do it now if you know you have some days that are available and not available and you still want to jump.
You don't have to pick a day, but you can only use it for one day. So if I want to show up for Saturday's set or Saturday, I don't have to announce it. I just show up on Saturday and it's good for that day. Is that kind of how it rolls?
Yes. Well, you buy one for Saturday specifically.
Oh, I see what you're saying. There you go. Okay. So it's day specific.
Yeah. So it's available day specific, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We do not do any single day tickets for Wednesday historically. That may change in the future, but not this year.
Gotcha. Is Wednesday a full show day? Because Wednesday, I know other festivals do a first day as an arrival setup. We do an evening of music or something very low key, and then it, you know, jumps, you know, balls to the walls, as it were, on Thursday to get going. What is Wednesday for you guys?
Yes, great question there too. I am very proud and happy about the personal programming we have programmed for Wednesday. We have multiple sets going on 4 different stages that day. So I think the party really gets going after 3 o'clock kind of thing. So we do have that load-in period where you kind of stretch your legs, get your bearings, and then, you know, we have like a GA welcome on the main stage or on the Oasis stage, and then we have a GA or a VIP welcome on the VIP stage. And so we get going, boy. And I can tell you, can't release too much of that stuff, but one of the bands playing that day is Circles Around the Sun. And love those guys, and so they're going to be doing a big old set on Wednesday for us, in addition to many other bands. So it's definitely a day not to sleep on.
Are they doing multiple sets, or will they be there just Wednesday? Circles Around the Sun.
They're doing multiple sets, so I believe they're also going to do something on Thursday as well.
Okay, beautiful.
So
beautiful.
Won't have to
talk. Yeah, let's talk about the purpose of programming. Let's talk about the acts. I know most recently, and I'm a J-Rad fan, so that's what I lit into when you announced it last week. But that's the most recent addition to a pretty robust lineup already. Talk to us about how you're curating and what you're most happy with so far, and tease what we can expect, you know, coming in the next couple weeks or months.
Love it. So FloydFest, purposeful programming is very, very important to us. And it means often that we go after very specific bands for very specific days, right? We want the whole day to make sense from the beginning note to the end note. So we're very excited about all the bands that we've released so far. I will say this, we have two more rounds of artist announcements coming in December, and then we have at least three rounds coming in after the new year. So we have five at the very least coming, so just stay tuned, right? Like, there's a lot that has not been revealed, and that's very exciting for us to be able to do that in spurts. So, this is just a kind of a balcony view. We've kind of centered into, like, Thursday, there is a jam-heavy programming concept to it, right? Jam band kind of programming to it. Friday, we've already announced some of this, but we are very excited about doing a female-focused Friday main stage. And we've worked very hard on this. All the names have not been released so far. But, of course, we can and we have released with Sierra Farrell, who we believe intently is going to become a massive headliner internationally. He's already on that trajectory. She is going to kind of cap that. But we, of course, have the other Sierra, Sierra Hull, on that day as well. And that day is just coming together. We can't wait for the next two announcements so you can kind of see how it all fits together. Saturday kind of fits the whole rock and roll soul kind of funk bill, if you will. And that's very exciting for us. We have not announced many of the bands that are going to be in that. That's coming up in December. And then Sunday really kind of fills that alt country kind of checkbox. But it also is so much more. And and peppered throughout all of these days, I'm very happy to say we have rekindled a romance, if you will, with Floyd Country Store. Floyd Country Store is just a cornerstone of the Floyd community, Southwest Virginia community, just an incredible entity. They also run County Sales Records. They have the kids involved with Handmade Music School. They have taken the lead in programming our workshop porch, and so now it's the Floyd Country Store workshop porch. And so the acts, the workshops, the conversations that will take place on that porch over the 4 days is going to be incredible. It's going to be a little mini festival within itself. And so that's something not to sleep on, right? So that's very important. I just say stay tuned because I hope to say that in our history, we've been good about tapping the artists that we know are going to go places in the subsequent years. And I think that when 2024 is realized, some of these artists that we have closer to the top of the bill are going to be incredibly well received and much beyond their years of where we have them now. So I think we're good at that. Hopefully we care very deeply about that. The On the Rise competition will be announced after the first of the year. That class is very strong. The local loves, the local regional bands we have, very, very strong. And it all just fits together perfectly. And the last thing I'll kind of just note on, I'm very excited about this. We worked very hard to get Jupiter and Alquest. Floyd Fest began with a heavy emphasis on world music. And we have done that, you know, with the Cooties. You know, we have done that with many other, the African Showboys were in the first years of all this stuff. To get them, they have one of the highest listen to watch NPR Tiny Desk concerts, one of the most listened to and watched world cafes. These guys are just incredible, incredible musicians. They're led by Jupiter, of course, and he was born in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And it's an incredible show. And, you know, difficult for us to convince them to get over into the United States, but we got all those bits and pieces figured out, and they're coming over. So don't sleep on that. I can tell you this. They're going to be on Friday. Or no, they're going to be on Thursday. Apologies. Okay. Part of the personal program on Thursday.
Yeah. This is pretty remarkable what you have going on. And the whole thing, you know, aside from being purposeful programming, it's been fun to watch the whole project, you know, understating, but watching all of Floyd Fest be so purposeful in what you do. I mean, in some places – you kind of slap, I don't want to say slap together because producers and promoters would slap me if they heard me call it a, you know, a ramshackle event. But, you know, you've really put some effort, some thought, some time into the concepting behind it, you know, the talent behind it, the creation of the stages and the different venues and the different grounds. It really must be fun and rewarding to take that open canvas and really carve it into something special.
As you said that very well. It energizes us, inspires us, and we don't just throw it against the wall, see if it sticks.
Right.
Try to really be intentional about our decisions, and it's very nice.
Yeah. Talk to me. I probably have, we probably have what we need here just as a teaser. Maybe, you know, come back to you at some point down the road for additional news and maybe, you know, post Road Trip Mojo when you add those. Any closing thoughts you want to get across for the listeners out there?
Just that we greatly respect and we feel blessed that so many people supported us through these growing pains, if you will. And I can just tell you that we're in this and we're doing this for the right reasons. And we are not going to let them down. Kind of the one of the marquee headliners for this year is Festival Park. And it's to welcome people to this space that we've created intentionally. And it's wild, you know, it's our baby. Kind of brings me back down to earth is every time we take someone on a private tour of the place, their jaws are dropped. And that's what we're aiming for. And I cannot wait for Wednesday and Thursday and Friday next year, the festival, to see those new rounds of our loved patrons come on site and see it for the first time. It's going to give me chills, you know, and I hope, and we're going to continue learning. That's the other thing I want to say too, is like, we don't act like we know everything about everything. We are going to learn from our patrons. We listen intently every year with patron surveys about what we can do better to improve. That will only continue. And we just really thank everyone for giving us a chance to do this because we're doing it for them. So thank you.
And I got to say, thank you for listening to patron surveys because there is a lot. We've been to a lot of festivals where we say they could, you know, subtly or, you know, very in a small scale tweak this or that and really make a change. And they may not do it. And some have made it and it really changed. You know, even in I know it's no small deal. We had commented and others had commented to one fest we go to about arrival time. And where you have everybody arriving, for example, on a Thursday morning for a Thursday afternoon start, 5, 10, 15,000 people all jockeying. And if you're in a remote area, you know, coming in on 2, maybe 3 roads, it can be challenging, doesn't begin to, you know, to sort of, you know, say what this is. So you learn from those, you know, people, boots on the ground, campers in the tent, they have ideas to share in it. And thank you for listening to what people have to say.
Of course, of course. And thank you for the time. Really can't wait to have you back up, have everyone there. So thank you.
Yep, absolutely. Well, thank you, Sam. We've been chatting with Sam Calhoun from Floyd Fest. He's putting together a killer show. Going to have some announcements for acts coming up later in this month and into next, or I guess next month into the new year. So if we have more, we'll be chatting with Sam. So thanks again, and y'all keep listening, and we'll be posting more content down the road. So peace, all. This has been Jeff with Road Trip Mojo. We'll be talking back at you. Hang tight. Let me just put a stop on this. I'll edit it, but I got to see how to do this.